This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're continuing verse by verse, and we've come to the discussion now of Vibhav. There's five components to Bhakti Ras, and although there's a phenomenon called Sadharani Karan, which Rupa Goswami Pad speaks about, that Sadharani means to, sometimes it's translated as generalization or equalization, to equalize, to feel the feelings of another. Sadharani Karan, and Karan means the practice where one tries by in his sadhana, when he's reading Leela or even seeing dramas performed, he gives some examples of seeing drama. He identifies so much with the Nayak or Nayaka, hero, the heroine, that the Anubhavas and the Vyavachari Bhavas, different Bhavas and sentiments and emotions come in his body while he's watching a drama of Krishna Leela or Ram Leela, or hearing a Harikata, Ram Katha, Krishna Katha. And he cries or his hair stands on end. But Rupa goes, and then sometimes Acharyas, they say that sadhakas, even Raghunuga sadhakas, that on a level of nishta, or which is not easy, nishta or anartanivriti or nishta or even higher, they should practice this, Sadharani Karan. But if you look close at the discussion of Sadharani Karan, it comes later, Sadharani Karan, the equalization or trying to experience or relish ras, and actually one gets the adhikar when he comes to the plot. First he has to be totally shuddha sattva. He has to be pure. And then when the bhava bhakti, when the surup shakti descends into his heart and he actually attains the level of bhava bhakti, then he can actually relish bhakti ras. And this is what Rupa Goswami Pad is telling. I think maybe it comes in this section, or we already discussed it. Because oftentimes I hear people discussing that they're trying to practice Sadharani Karan as a sadhana and rag sadhana. But I don't see anywhere it's mentioned that this is something that's that one can actually experience or relish bhakti ras until one has actually attained bhava. And everyone knows there's nine basic internal symptoms of bhava. Nam ruchi. One has ruchi, nam ruchi, and he has nam ruchi, and he's continuously chanting the name. Nam sadagane ruchi. That for all the different types of names of Krishna, not Rupnam or all different names, Leela Nam, Guna Nam, all the names describing Krishna, that he has ruchi, nam ruchi. And moreover, sada, kirtaniya sadahari. He's always chanting. That's one of the nine symptoms of bhava mentioned in the Bhava Bhakti chapter, which we already discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So this is a requisite to do this. So now we're going to just discuss the components of Bhakti Ras. And I can't remember. I don't think we discussed this last year, Vibhav and all this, Anubhav, Vibhav. Because I had presented an outline, the whole thing, and I thought maybe I read it, but I don't know. I think I read this in Bhajan Rahasyam class about this. This is some notes I may read for 10-15 minutes, because I don't propose to have all these things halfway understood or even far from realized. So I'm a teacher, let's say student/teacher. So we'll just read it and try to understand it. And then we'll go, cause this is preliminary to beginning this first wave of this particular section. What ocean is this? I don't forget. Southern section. This is Dakshin Vibhag. Dakshin means south. Dakshin Vibhag. And we're here. There's a whole long discussion about Vibhav. So I want to describe Bhakti Ras in a summary way. And then also describe these five components that make up Ras and mix together. So Bhana Maharaj, in his definition here, he translates Bhakti Ras. He says the soul's loving service is to God for his pleasure. This is bhakti. This is what bhakti means. And we're going to talk bhakti, then bhakti ras. A soul's loving service is to God for his pleasure. It comes from the word bhaj, which means to serve or to worship. It's difficult to find an English word, which Prabhupada mentions in Nectar Devotion introduction, because bhakti is the innate, natural function of a pure soul. It's Krishna bhakti. This is a hard thing to actually accept, because we have so many undevotional feelings and desires and sentiments, and we think it's us. But actually our innate, actual nature is bhakti. To serve the Supreme God in a way which is both agreeable and favorable to Him. Bhakti has nothing to, this is like a crushing statement. Bhakti has nothing to do with mental emotions. Bhakti is the soul's function, completely distinct from the physical and mental activities of an individual conditioned soul. Because we think, oh, I feel this, I think Krishna feels Krishna's cold. And bhakti means that devotional service after the material mind and senses are purified of all material attachments and designations by engaging in sadhana bhakti. Then, with purified, spiritualized senses, one engages in the service of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. This is bhakti, devotional service. So we are trying to qualify ourselves. We say bhakti jo, this, that. And then we get initiated, Krishna Das, Chaitanya Dasi, whatever. We're actually trying to come to the platform of beginning bhakti. That's what we're trying to do. Rupa Goswami's classic definition and perfect definition is Mangala Charana 111 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmad yanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Pure devotional service, uttam bhakti, means a cultivation of activities exclusively for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. In other words, an uninterrupted flow of service, akanda seva, to Krishna, performed through all endeavors of the body, mind, and speech, and through the expression of the various spiritual sentiments of bhavas. So bhakti, actual proper bhakti, is services with everything we have, plus mixed with bhav. This is actual. These are very humiliating tattvas. Because when we actually hear the actual fact of what is bhakti and what is bhakti proper, then we realize Nityananda Ram ki jai. Hino nitai vine bai Radha Krishna payate nai. Without the mercy of nitai, we're hopeless. As much as we make a lot of noise and a lot of endeavor and move a lot of things around, and seem to do a lot of things, we actually haven't gone anywhere. We actually crawling like the caterpillar on the wall, on the vast high wall of devotional perfection. Such prema, such pure bhakti is not covered by jnana, knowledge aimed at impersonal liberation, and not covered by karma, reward-seeking activity. Such pure bhakti is devoid of all desires other than the aspiration to bring happiness to Sri Krishna. That is called pure devotional service. Prabhupada says bhakti means devotional service. Bhakti connotates devotion, love, and love implies surrender. Service means that activity which is intended to please the beloved. Thus, Srila Prabhupada's definition of bhakti as devotional service is extremely perfect and eloquent. Devotional service. Service, activity, meant performed with love, meant to please or the beloved or devoted to the beloved. The basic principle of the living entity, this is Prabhupada's quote, devotional service is the most fundamental drive of every living entity. A very interesting point. Devotional service, to serve with God with love, is the most fundamental drive. That's what's actually driving us. That's what's moving us, propelling us, carrying us here and there, is the desire to serve. And it's so blissful when it actually serves another person without motivation. And everyone has direct, any devotees had direct experience serving the deities, serving gurus, serving Vaishnavas, serving the conditioned souls, just for their pleasure, for their benefit. It produces automatic happiness, satisfaction. Prabhupada's quotation, the basic principle of the living entity, the basic principle of the living condition is that we have a general propensity to love someone. No one can live without loving someone else. And I always paraphrase that. A life without love is not worth living. Actually, it's based on the statement of Prabhupada from Introduction to Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada told us, if you want to know what is bhakti, then read Nectar Devotion 7 times. Cover to cover. 7 times read Nectar Devotion. Then you'll know what is bhakti. I can't say I read it 7 times. So I don't know. I read it 4 times maybe. So I have some time left. So hopefully I can finish. Therefore, we can't be happy without satisfying this desire to love. We cannot perfectly fulfill this desire to love without allowing its expression to the most inclusive extent. So the most inclusive extent. Prabhupada says, at the primary stage, a child loves his parents, then his brothers and sisters, and later he loves his family, his nation, or he may even love all of humanity. But the loving propensity is not satisfied even by loving all of humanity. Our loving propensity remains imperfectly fulfilled until we know who is the Supreme Beloved. That's a pretty powerful one. Because he probably already established the propensity, the fundamental drive of the living condition, we're alive, living entity, is to love. And without loving someone and finding a loving relationship, life is might as well be dead. Life means love. Love means life. So our loving propensity remains imperfectly fulfilled. Will this husband fulfill that propensity? Good luck. Will this wife fulfill that propensity? Good luck. All the best. Wish you the best. Many happy returns of the day. And again, next life. And again, next life. And next, and next, and next. On infinitum. It will always remain imperfectly fulfilled until we know who is the Supreme Beloved. And the obvious conclusion is that it is Krishna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the root source of all existence. So if we learn to love Krishna, then we will learn how to show love to everyone. Bhakti means doing activities meant exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. This is a repeat. Such activities are done in a favorable spirit, saturated with love, and are devoid of all their desires, other than a desire for Krishna's benefit and pleasure, which are not covered by reward-seeking activity and speculation that God is impersonal. Sandilya Bhakti Sutra defines bhakti as this. It's in English also, that book. Bhakti means exclusive and intense loving attachment to the Lord. Narada Muni describes bhakti as indescribable love, the grandest and sublimest of all human experiences. Bhakti, Krishna bhakti, Bhagavan, devotion to God, Bhagavan devotion, is the grandest and sublimest of all human experiences. That's bhakti. Now, what is bhakti ras? Because we're talking about bhakti, then bhakti ras. And then the components and elements of bhakti ras. And who's experiencing bhakti ras and how and when we can experience bhakti ras. Because ras itself is, love means the taste of love. We find someone to love, then we love them, then we experience the taste of love. So the whole goal of our practices as sadhakas is to attain love of God. I think so. That's the goal, Krishna Prema. And attaining that love of God and full submission and surrender to that beloved Shyam, Radha Shyam, then in that submission and in that surrender, pure devotional service, we'll relish rasa, taste. A husband, Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, a husband experiences some rasa in maintaining his family. There's some rasa there. Husbands and wives, there's some rasa, some taste, but it's like a drop compared to the bhakti, ras, amrita, sindhu, the ocean of love and rasa and the ocean of devotion, bhakti. Bhakti ras, it is the ecstatic principle of concentrated deliciousness. The Vodacharya defines it like this. The ecstatic principle of concentrated deliciousness. Bhakti ras is ecstatic principle of concentrated deliciousness or transcendental mellow sweetness. The transcendental mellow sweetness which is inherent in bhakti. The only function of individual souls in their pure spiritual state is to relish bhakti ras. When a devotee, while serving Sri Krishna, this means a bhava bhakta or a prema bhakta, when he feels an indescribable joy swelling in his heart, which goes out in all directions through his body and makes his mind race with happiness so much so that his eyes open wide and his voice seems to rise in his throat, and he can find no words to convey the incredible transcendental emotions he's feeling everywhere simultaneously in his body, mind, and senses. So all he can say is, oh, wow. This is what one experiences when he tastes bhakti ras. Did you get that? Oh, wow. Oh, what was that? Who's some of those people? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. What is this? Or some people have had similar experiences in other ways. But it's simply a permutation of the modes of nature. This is Shuddha Sattva in action we're describing. Vishuddha Sattva. How it influences the Atma, the liberated Atma, who is free, totally free from any bodily contact, although sitting on the body has nothing to do with it. It's like the soul is sitting in the body and has nothing to do with it. So when the soul gets liberated, he's also sitting in the body and has nothing to do with it. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma. Mamshi Obicharena Saganansi Mititiyatan Brahma Buyaya Kalpate. Mamshi Obicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevata. So the Abhitraina Bhakti liberates the soul. So he's in the world, not of the world. Exactly what Jesus said. He's in the body, it has nothing to do with the bodies. Gunatita, gunatit. He's conquered the gunas. He's no longer in the gunas. So he's in the prem realm, prem dham Vrindavan, mind, body, heart. Oh, wow. What a leela. This is what he experiences when he tastes bhakti ras, such an extraordinary, unprecedented stage of bhav and prem. These are different definitions, actually, from Bhakti Ras. Three, that was the second one. Third, when the Sthayi Bhav, which is synonymous with our Krishna Rati, our permanent emotional of the heart in one of five primary spiritual relationships, like Sakya Rati, means the mood of fraternal love, the loving mood of a friend, or Madhura, Madhura Rati, Madhurya Bhav, this intense love, conjugal love, mood of a lover and beloved, Madhura Rati. So that's called Sthayi, Stan, Sthayi, it's fixed. That's always that one is always there. Like the immovable ocean. The ocean is always there. Sometimes it's passive. Sometimes it's turbulent with waves. Sometimes whirlpools going around. When the sthayi bhav becomes very tasty for the devotee, when his sthayi bhav mixes with vibhav, anubhav, sattvic bhav, and vyavachari bhav, these four bhavas, this is induced, this mixture comes about by through the medium of hearing and chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, and smaranam, and it's tasted in the heart, then it's called bhakti ras. Specifically, it happens like this. Here's an example. When one's Krishna Rati or Sthayi Bhav is aroused by stimulating elements, Vibhav, Udipans, which are transmitted through the medium of Shravanam, Kirtanam, or Smaranam, it gives rise to various ensuing emotions, Anubhavas, Sattvic Bhav, Vyavachari. The combination of all these components or elements produces an extraordinary taste within the heart, known as bhakti ras. This is the fourth definition. The spiritual transformation of the heart, which occurs when one's sthayi bhav is converted into liquid emotions by combination with various types of transcendental ecstasies. This is very high experiences, the level of bhava and prema. Bhakti ras means mellows of devotion. The word mellow means sweet, full-flavored, full flavor of ripeness, as in fruit, mellow. In other words, mellow means relishably sweet taste of a fruit, the taste contained within its juice. The relationships between people are compared to fruits. We say the fruit of our relationship, the pleasure, the happiness we taste, the experience in a personal relationship is the juice or mellow of that relationship, the rasa. When you're with someone and you feel happy or elated or enlightened. So that experience, that it's something in your mind and heart, then that's the ras in relationship. The word ras literally means juice or liquid taste. Krishna says in Gita, rasoham apsokontaya, I am the taste of water. It is the taste, the sweet taste of fruit that attracts us to eat it, isn't it? It's not the color, it's not the shape, it's not the texture. It's, oh, sitafal tastes like this, and mango tastes like this. That taste on the tip of the tongue and registered in the mind as pleasure. The force that attracts us to a certain activity, or the relish, or relationship, is a taste we enjoy in it. So we taste mango, and it tastes very good, and we remember that rasa. And then when we see a mango again, we think, oh, I want to have a relationship with this mango. I want to interact with this mango. And my senses and mind, and then when you, ah, oh, that taste again. Ah, oh, that sweet taste of mango. Again, that mind, all those sensors in the mind, mango sensors or whatever, samskaras actually is what's happening. They become satisfied by that input of the mango juice, which we extract the rasa from. That mellow, that experience. The mind becomes happy. You eat one mango and two mangoes and three. They say, you want another one? I say, no, that's nice. That's nice. I'm happy. Lord Chaitanya planted a tree that grew mangoes, so much mangoes that one mango fed everyone. No pits, no skin. Just gloop. Maybe they ate it and just sat and licked their fingers. I don't know. You have to imagine what the experience was like. He was giving them out, so there's no skin. They're just oozing with juice and rust and mellow, covering your hands and licking it, chewing it, sucking it, everything. Just eat one anand. And one mango satisfying a man who's just chanted for 6 hours and danced in kirtan. And going all over Navadvip dancing in kirtan and chanting. And you eat one mango and then you're okay, anand. Pet bolo anandi. Bajarada Govinde. So that's the experience. Goranga mango. So that's ras. Goranga ras. There's two kinds of taste or ras, bhakti ras and mundane ras, jada ras. Jada means stone or material energy. Bhakti ras is a spiritual taste relished in devotional service to Krishna. And mundane ras is related only to sense gratification. What's the difference between bhakti ras and mundane ras? The rupee coin. Flip the coin. Heads or tails. The coin of mundane ras has two sides. Enjoyment and renunciation. Sankalpa, vikalpa. Acceptance, sankalpa, vikalpa, rejection. We accept, we run with it, then we renounce and reject or throw it away. The coin buys or gets us only flickering happiness. Chapala Sukh. Never enough. Too less. This is funny. This is material mundane ras. Material ras. Jada ras. Comparing bhakti ras with mundane ras. Listen tightly. As everyone has had this experience. Never enough. Who was here when we had Giraj's Charanamrita? Was anyone here? You were there? We just had about a leader and about five devotees. And we had like a little bit. And then everybody had a little bit. And I said, Haribo? Because only one leader is about 10 devotees. Little. I said, just be happy because other devotees are coming later and they won't get any. Because it's all gone. So it was never enough. And it's never enough, too less, too short, it comes and goes. We can't remain permanently with either enjoyment or renunciation. We must come down from every high. The soul is continually oscillating between enjoyment and renunciation. Oh, you eat a big feast, then what happens? Renunciation. You're sick. Your belly doesn't work for 2 days. So you're enjoying bhog and then tyag. So bhog and then you have to renounce. You're forced. Finding no satisfaction either. So we don't find satisfaction when we try to enjoy because it's never enough. It's too less and it runs out and it's impermanent. It ends too fast. So we don't really get that peak of enjoyment, that high point that we're looking for. And then after it comes to pleasure, then it's the other side of the coin immediately follows the detachment or the suffering, you know, the happiness and dukkha, sukha and dukkha. So when we get the dukkha, we have to renounce all the eating. And then we don't get any pleasure from that renunciation either because we're hankering to enjoy. And when we enjoy too much, we have to renounce. So it's a constant. The soul's natural position is neither to enjoy or renounce. The happiness of mundane ras is always temporary and flickering. Because it's temporary. As soon as we abandon it and search, we soon abandon it and search for other pleasure. Bhakti ras is categorically different because tasting bhakti ras is the natural position of the soul, which means we remain satisfied with bhakti ras eternally without oscillation. Prabhupada, once someone came and they interviewed Prabhupada, this is in the folio. Prabhupada, I see your devotees chanting on the streets and selling books, and they have their functions, rituals in the temple. But other than these activities, temple functions and rituals and selling books, chanting and these festivals, what do your disciples do for recreation? For recreation, what do they do for vacation? This is like their work, their job. And Prabhupada said, my disciples are not so fickle. Not so fickle, not so... This is... everything's vacation. We don't need a separate vacation. Everything... Vacation means recreation. Recreational homes. Recreational facilities. Recreation parks. They have these things, right? People go on vacation. Well, Prabhupada said everything we're doing is recreation. We sing and dance, that's recreation. We hear nice poetry and philosophy and bhajans and songs, that's recreation. And we joke around with each other, that's recreation. And we go on mystical tours to faraway places. India. You know, the magic India. We go to faraway places on magical tours, that's enjoyment, that's recreation. And then we have big festivals and we parade through the streets with huge carts and frighten everybody. With a juggernaut. And we dance in the streets. Can you dance in the street? Without being embarrassed or shy? What's my friend going to think? What my parents think? We can dance down the street, the main street, Radhe Radhe, Jai Jagannath. What me worry? What me care? So, Prabhupada said, practically everything we do is recreation. I've started the International Society for Recreation. So this is bhakti ras. The pleasure experience in bhakti ras is unending nectar, joy, amritanand. Unlike material sense gratification, which ends tragically at death, bhakti ras, the mellow relish in the transcendental loving service of Sri Krishna, does not end with death. It continues perpetually. Prabhupada said, Bhakti Ras itself produces a feeling of liberation because Bhakti Ras attracts the attention of Sri Krishna. When one is situated in Bhakti Ras life, this is Prabhupada's quote, when one is situated in Bhakti Ras life, any action performed for the satisfaction of Krishna can be relished perpetually. These are all definitions. A particular loving mood or attitude relished in the exchange of love with Krishna is called bhakti rasa or mellow. When these five bhavas mix, combine properly, they enable the jiva to taste the highest degree of transcendental ecstasy. Because the ocean is always wet with water, and sometimes waves come and embellish it and give it more, make it more beautiful, more attractive, more variety. But it's always wet. So when one is situated in a sthayibhav, at a level of bhava bhakti, he's always relishing mellow. He's always relishing that ras of being with Krishna and serving him in love, his bhava. But at different times, waves appear in that ocean. The ocean is full of water, millions of unlimited liters of water. So the heart of the bhava bhakta, premi bhakta, is full of mellows of bhakti, and he's relishing. But then waves come, and he experience, and then different bhavas mix together in circumstances by hearing, chanting, remembering, or seeing lila drama. And then it heightens the waves in the ocean, and the experience becomes greater and greater. So that's heightened experience of bhakti ras. Rupa Goswami says that the taste of bhakti ras is so astonishing that it always remains apurvata, unprecedented, and eternally fresh, as if being experienced for the first time. At the stage of bhav and prema, this mellow bhakti ras can be experienced while hearing, chanting, and remembering, and serving Krishna. So all these, we relish the ras when these various emotional components combine together. When the sthayi bhav of the individual, when it combines with these four ingredients which I mentioned, this ras is experienced. It's just like yogurt. The very nice analogy is given yogurt. There's a special Indian drink they make. It's called rasala. In other words, milk and rice and sugar is nice, but you add more things, it becomes more flavorful. So rasala is yogurt. You start with yogurt, it becomes rasala. It becomes full of rasa when you add black pepper and sugar and kaffir. It says kaffir, but when you mix it with sugar, chini, karpur, kalimirch, black pepper, then it becomes rasala. And that has a unique taste of its own. Because you eat yogurt, it has a certain type of bland or whatever, milk taste, sour taste, this, that. But then when you mix these items, it becomes a new thing. It becomes a totally new taste. So the ras, bhakti ras that's in the heart has a certain flavor and taste which is so satisfying and pleasing. But when then these four bhavas mix in different circumstances, then it produces even greater heightened experience. The overview of the five components of bhakti ras.